This week, life has to take in a fun direction to be eventually known as the quote-unquote voodoo queen. This is the amazing story of Marie Laveau of New Orleans. There's one point that I want to make with this episode is not only to tell a history of a very interesting person, but I'm also going down the road of a woman who was definitely misunderstood. The darker sides of what she provided to the world, to the society of New Orleans, sadly, these are the things that people end up being known for. It's what folks they focus on through gossip and stories that are misplaced. Now, some of the stuff with her in relation to her religion and what she believed may be considered on the darker sides. Definitely the legends that came out of her life would be on this too. But I also want to present a story of somebody who was very well respected during a time when you wouldn't expect a woman of color to be respected, especially down in the South. New Orleans was a very different place in regards to this, and I hope that comes through with what I'm about to present. Without further ado, let's talk about Marie Laveau. Now, Marie was born in the year 1801. She was born free. Now, this is interesting because if you don't know the history, in 1801, slavery did exist in the United States of America, especially down in the South, and especially in the city of New Orleans. However, her parents were already freed. And for this reason, any offspring, any children they had, would also be free. Now, she actually comes from a pretty distinguished family. Her father was Charles Laveau, and he fell in love with a woman named Marguerite d'Arcantel. They would have Marie Laveau. Now, the original spelling did have an X at the end. This would later be removed. Currently spelled L-A-V-E-A-U. Now, she was born to free people of color because Charles was considered high society. He owned a New Orleans grocery store, so he ran a business, and Charles' father, which was Marie's grandfather, was also historically significant. It was a fellow named Charles Trudeau. Now, he was credited with designing Lafayette Park in New Orleans, and shockingly, he served as an interim mayor in the year 1812. Now, you might be thinking, how is this possible? In the back then, you know, it wouldn't have been possible for a person of color to serve as a mayor of a city, especially one as well known as New Orleans. But Charles Laveau and Charles Trudeau, so there's some confusion there. They say that Marie's father was Charles Laveau and that her grandfather was Charles Trudeau. So Trudeau was the true last name of the family line. And it seems that Laveau was more of a middle name of the grandfather. So the son took on the middle name and he was said to be the father of Marie. There was some confusion on this. It was not identified. The father wasn't identified in the baptismal record for Marie Laveau. So she did have that white lineage on her father's side of the family. But she was connected with him. However, it didn't matter anyway because her mother, Marguerite, was also a free woman of color. So either way, Marie would end up free. Now, if you guys are part of the Facebook discussion group, if not, look it up. It's just Ghost Guy Daniel Podcast. You'll see that I posted an image that showed Marie with her daughter, Marie. And this is where a lot of confusion comes from, is on how old Marie Laveau actually was when she died, which led to stories of Marie Laveau being immortal, living long after 100 years. And this was a confusion that was kind of created between her and her daughter. So a lot of the pictures that will show her as a spooky-looking older woman was really a part of a stereotype. Because as I'll kind of mention, I'm going to be reading a bit of her obituary later in the show. She was actually very beautiful. Her mother, her grandmother were all very beautiful, and the line just continued down. This gave her a lot of attention I would like to think that maybe if Marie Laveau was alive in modern times, that she would have ended up Instagram influencer or something, or a model, even on a higher level. So people paid attention to her. And if there's one thing we do know about Laveau, is she loved it. She loved the attention, which isn't a bad thing, because it's not like she just kind of turned it around and did nothing with it. She did a lot of good with this attention that she received. At the young age of about 18 years old, Marie then marries a man named Jacques Perry. This ended very quickly, though, because Jacques mysteriously vanished. Don't think this didn't add to the reputation of the woman. He mysteriously vanished, and is no body found. Nobody knows what happened to him. Not sure he was murdered or just left. And in the end, some of the rumors stated that he just left the United States to went back to his home in the country of Haiti. Now, after a while, Marie being stuck in this marriage that she couldn't get out, that Jacques was then declared dead. So for this reason, she would then become a widow. And there was a nickname given to her called the Widow Perry. Then 6 years would pass before Marie met a man named Christophe de Glapion. Now, Christophe was from a French family, obviously. He was considered a Creole, and he was also a free person of color. And seemingly unlike her previous husband, Jacques, Christophe seemed to love his wife, Marie, respected her very much. And over the years that they were together, the love did grow. They would have 5 kids together. Now, there are rumors, and I even saw this myself in the obituary, that said that there was 15 children from this marriage. This is not true. So they had 5 children, and part of the confusion with, you know, Marie living on in her daughter's stead and, potentially being immortal and stuff, I think that's where the confusion comes from. Tons of rumors going around about Marie Laveau. That does not help. So the confusion here is that there was 15 total kids. So kids, and then later on grandkids that they had, that's where the 15 comes from. So it's 5 children, not 15, with Christophe. Now, Christophe eventually died in the year 1855, and just like her ex-husband Jacques, it was considered a mystery. Now, no details were given, just that his death left Marie and the kids in debt. This was unfortunate because technically Marie owned it. I guess the other debts, you know, the debtors will come and take whatever they can. In this case, it was the house on St. Anne Street. Now, this house was actually quite historic for the town. It dated back to the 1700s, was built of clay and moss. And how Marie came into ownership of the house is actually a really interesting story. It was the son of a local rich fella. And one day, the man who built the house on St. Anne Street, his son was arrested and put in jail for unknown reasons. The first person he thought to go to was Marie Laveau. She agreed to help, and so what she did is she spent 9 days inside the St. Louis Cathedral. She spoke for the boy while kneeling in prayer, and she offered a penance of pain. Now, this is, in my mind, considered to be a type of magic being used. This penance of pain is she put hot peppers underneath her tongue. So this would burn and burn, and at the same time that she was praying, this is one of those instances where they say she was doing magic, some say black magic. So after focusing all of her pain on these peppers, then the peppers are taken, and what they're done is they're put underneath the chair of the judge who's trying the son. And it's thought because of this that the son was then freed that same day. So the father is extremely grateful, thinking Marie Laveau, I mean, it could be just coincidence, but he thinks it's Marie Laveau and her amazing magic that got his son released. And for that reason, he gave her the St. Anne Cottage as a gift. So then Christophe's death comes along. Because of the debts, the house is taken away. But her good deeds will bring it right back to her. So I don't know if she's working with karma here. Because after this, a friend of hers, quote-unquote friend, purchased the cottage, and in turn allowed Marie and the family to remain there forever rent-free. Now, I'm sure there's a story somewhere behind then on who the friend was and how that was set up. She probably had contacts with rich families and political folks, but either way, they ended up back in the house not having to pay anything, so it was almost like she still owned it. Now, unfortunately, the house that she lived in, the St. Anne Cottage, is now gone. It was demolished in 1903. The house that currently stands there is at the address 1020 St. Anne Street, and that marks the approximate location, which in turn is now a tourist attraction. Have you ever heard the term that knowledge is power? Marie Laveau took that term and made it her own. Now, the term friend, when I say they were friends with Marie Laveau, this for her life kind of meant one who was beholden to her for one reason or another. One of the things was she would hear a lot of secrets that were being spread among high society. Marie would get this. She had a network of slaves who were around the city. They would return information to her. And because of this, she had all this information as well. She was a hairdresser, so high society women would come in to get their hair done, and they would talk, not realizing she was listening the whole time. So she gathered up this information almost like a knowledge base today or in a journal. She had all these secrets and things against the high society and powerful people of New Orleans. And because of this, they said that she received that information through voodoo, maybe sending her minions and her spirits to come and listen on their conversations, but it really was a natural thing. And for this reason, the power she had with all the slaves and servants throughout the town, she was respected on a whole nother level. Even rumored once, somebody said that Marie Laveau was more respected by the people of New Orleans than the government. She lived an amazing life. And that's when death would come for her, even though some people say it didn't. It was the year 1881. It is said that Marie died peacefully in her bed inside the St. Anne Cottage. However, rumors abound. Some say that she died because she was accidentally beheaded. Other people say that she never died and that she continued the walk to streets of New Orleans to be seen. Now, I'm sure the Laveau family played up on this a little bit. I kind of hinted on the idea that Marie Laveau II, which was her daughter, was Christophe, that she looked very much like her mother in her younger days. So when Marie Laveau II was walking around, people were like, oh, look, she's not only young again, but she's also still alive, and Marie Laveau can't be stopped. Not even death can come for her, but I'm sure the Laveau family and the daughter liked the idea of her mother still be considered being alive and that respect continuing. So I don't know for sure, but I can almost guess that they would lean in on this. And it wasn't even that. I mean, there was all these rumors of her being a voodoo queen and having powers. This didn't just come after the fact. So in that case, Marie, she leaned into all of those as well because she desired that respect. She never wanted anybody coming for her, so if they feared her, it was much better. And in return, she could do all the nice things that she did for others during her life. So the many tricks that were pulled on the city of New Orleans as a way of quote-unquote showing her powers kind of followed her to death, and that's when the rumors continued afterwards. And not believing her to be dead, they also didn't think her remains were placed inside the Glapion Crypt of St. Louis number one. But I mean, you know, put that all aside, all the rumors and tricks, chances are it's 100% true that she just died of old age in 1881, and that her remains were placed in that crypt that everybody goes and visits now and tries to raise her spirit by doing voodoo and drawing the X's. And when I say the people of New Orleans respected her, I mean that 100%. It's not just me talking from a more modern day look at all the terrible things that happened in the past. They respected her. They feared her. There was a obituary that was placed in one of the main newspapers of the town when she died. And I just wanted to read a couple of excerpts from it just to give you an idea of what they felt about her. And I can almost guarantee that the person who wrote this article was probably a white person, assuming a white male. And the fact that you would write something like this in a time when some of the other states, it just, you wouldn't even talk about a person of color in public such as this, just gives you an idea of how well-respected she was. So this massive article that covered an entire page in their newspaper at the time, talking about the death of Marie Laveau, a woman with a wonderful history, almost a century old, carried to her tomb yesterday evening. Quote, "On Wednesday, she sank into a sleep which knows no waking. Those she had befriended crowded into the little room where she was exposed in order to obtain the last look at the features, smiling even in death, of her who had been so kind to them." Another quote from the same article states, "Besides being very beautiful, Marie was also very wise. She was skillful in the practice of medicine, as acquainted with her valuable healing qualities of indigenous herbs. She was very successful as a nurse, wonderful stories being told of her exploits at the sickbed. In yellow fever and cholera epidemics, she was always called upon to nurse the sick, and always responded promptly." And finally, at the end, it says, "All in all, Marie Laveau was a most wonderful woman, doing good for the sake of doing good alone. She obtained no reward, oft times meeting with prejudice and loathing. She was nevertheless contented and did not flag in her work. She always had the cause of the people at heart, and was with them in all things. During the late rebellion, she proved her loyalty to the South at every opportunity, and freely dispensed help to those who suffered in defense of the lost cause." Now, by lost cause, if you don't know, they were talking about the Civil War and the South fighting in the Civil War and eventually losing. She was helping many of the injured during those battles. But again, you keep in mind on who wrote this article and the time that it was written. It is quite an amazing thing for her to receive such accolades. And a lot of people, they do focus on the darker sides of her life, maybe the tricks, quote unquote, that her and her family did to keep that respect and keep themselves in the public eye. But the goods that she did in her life far outweigh this. I'll give you a couple examples right here. We know it's just connected to voodoo, which is like a darker magic that comes from Haiti. And she was demonized for this. But as the obituary mentioned, she was the first people that many came to when they needed help. One of the mentions of yellow fever, this happened in 1853. It hit New Orleans, and because of Marie Laveau and her ability with medicine and herbs, she saved many lives. And for those who she couldn't save, for whom it was too late, she helped them die comfortably. She was always around. She was always in the hospital wards and on the streets, in the back alleys where people were suffering. She was always there to help and give prayer. Now, because of this, and because she wasn't fully associated with the local church, it is believed the church hated her for it. They hated the fact that people loved her. And some of the rumors of evil, quote-unquote evil, are said to come from the church as a way to discredit her. That's not 100% proven. I'm not stating that as fact. But if it were even slightly true, it would be kind of ironic, considering that Marie Laveau was very religious. You know, I don't know if she went to church all the time, but she did pray. She considered herself a Christian advocate, and she converted many to Christianity. But in the end, she is considered a rebel. And because of this, she was turning away from the current day, as in the history's day, religious morality, which has also included the acceptance of slavery, which is something that she couldn't abide by. And I don't blame her at all. However, there was kind of a strange thought. There were times in her life that Marie Laveau technically owned slaves, but there was a reason for it. And a good example of this comes from the story of a slave named Alexandrine. This really is a lovely story. When I first read it, I just absolutely loved it. So this woman came to the Laveau household. She was purchased by a man named Jean-Jacques Christophe Perry. You recognize the names? Since you are now all history buffs in Marie Laveau's history, you'll recognize those names. They're all connected to her former husbands, both of them. She just put the names together of both her husbands, and they're all fake. There is no, obviously, there's no person. And that person purchased Alexandrine and held her for 10 days. And then she was sold to a plantation owner named Mr. Dumaltrot. Now, please apologize to any French-speaking folks who are listening to this episode, and I know I'm murdering these names. I do my best. It still gets the story across. So she sells the slave to a plantation owner, and in return, she gets 1,000 Spanish dollars. I believe these were called piastres back in the day, and it's not nefarious at all, because here's the thing. That Spanish currency that she sold the slave for didn't actually exist anymore. By the 1800s in New Orleans, it had been removed for the local currency. So because of this, no money was passed. And because of that, it created what they like to call a legal loophole. And because of it, Alexandrine was now free. Now, just as a side note, the plantation owner was a real fellow. He was a white man who was in love with Alexandrine. And this is how a way that they could be together. So because of Marie Laveau's little legal loophole, they ended up being together. They could then get married because she was free. And also any children that they have would also be free. So because of Marie Laveau, that entire family wouldn't have to deal with anything related to slavery. It's really a wonderful story. I say all these nice things about her, but there was a darker side. And some say she did this on purpose for that respect I was mentioning before. But it is possible that she did dive deep into the idea of voodoo. So one of the things that people said is that she must have been involved with voodoo is because she knew the business of all the powerful men and families of the city. Now, I kind of mentioned before how she accomplished this, and it mostly wasn't voodoo. Maybe there was some mixed into that. And because of this, a lot of these powerful men in the city would come to her for advice. And in most cases, she was right in the advice that they gave them. So many questioned how a free woman of color could know the business of powerful men. So in turn, they called it voodoo. Now, she would hear about these reputations saying that she was involved with voodoo directly. And she decided that she would lean into it. Many people would be insulted, but not Marie Laveau. She welcomed it. And this is one of the reasons, I don't know if it's 100% true, but legend states that she actually left New Orleans for a time. She disappeared. And they say that she disappeared because she was training with a famous voodoo priest named Dr. John. So rumor has that this man was deep into dark magic. And because of it, he stayed out of the public eye. Most people didn't even know that the guy existed. The people in voodoo and people in the French Quarter, they probably heard of his legend. They don't know who he actually was. There is rumors he was a man, connecting him to a voodoo priest that's said to have practiced slave gatherings at a place known as Congo Square. Today it is known as Louis Armstrong Park. Eventually Marie would return from her training. And people said that she was, like, they knew it was put out into the world that that's what she was doing. And for this reason, it gave her more publicity. They say she loved it for it, that she'd play part in doing these public rituals for everybody to see. And it was very well known to see her with a massive snake draped over her shoulders. This snake also had a name. His name was Le Grand Zombie, and it was a short zombie to his friends. And he was seen with Marie a lot. But even then, this is mostly just over the top. Kind of the stuff you see with certain celebrities, Instagram folks, TikTok folks, you know, now trying to get attention by doing crazy things. But in Marie Laveau's case, I mean, the attention was being brought so that she'd be respected, but that she could also go out and help people. So it was a very different thing. But this fiction of her being an evil voodoo queen was actually very well respected, especially in New Orleans society. This included an author, a fellow named Robert Talent. He wrote he was a columnist for a New Orleans newspaper, but he wrote a book back in the 1940s that was called The Voodoo Queen, a novel. Now, it's stated like a novel is usually fiction, but a lot of people thought that Robert believed the story he was telling, and he reported Marie as a violent person doing bloody rituals and that she was the leader of a satanic cult. Now, he would only die about 11 years after his book was released, so the year was 1957, and it's funny. I mean, if you believed Marie Laveau was the Voodoo Queen, and even though he wrote the book almost half a century after her death, you might look back on this situation and think that it was Marie Laveau's ghost that murdered him because of the fact that his death was so really odd. He was only 48 years old, and they said he was in his apartment one afternoon. He had gotten a glass of tap water and was just drinking the tap water, and he dropped dead. Now, in the end, they deemed it natural causes, but no additional explanation was given. But what about the ghost of Marie Laveau? Now, there are many ghost stories inside New Orleans that talk about seeing her around the French Quarter and, of course, around where she's buried at St. Louis No. 1, where the famous mausoleum exists, now covered in many writings, including X's, the three X's that supposedly will raise the ghost of Marie Laveau. So many stories and rumors surrounding her. You gotta guess there's gonna be ghost stories that are being told that are shared throughout these neighborhoods. And it's totally true. This is a part of New Orleans history, sometimes even going back to the Great Depression. In the Great Depression, if you don't know, was in the 1930s, a homeless man was passing through New Orleans. He found a comfortable place to sleep inside St. Louis No. 1 Cemetery. And he laid down, unfortunately for him, by the Deglapion Crypt. This is Marie's husband and where she's buried. That was near the witching hour of 3 a.m. when he woke to the sounds of chanting and drums. He looked up to see naked people. And they were dancing around a beautiful black woman who stood still, a large snake wrapped around her shoulders. Now, you step back from this situation and you might say, okay, well, it's from a long time ago. Is a man who, you know, maybe enjoyed a little bit of drink, I don't know, and the story is very over the top. So you might question whether you believe that not one or not, but it's definitely not the only story. Multiple times people say that they see her around her old house. Remember the house, the cottage on St. Ann Street? People claim to see Marie Laveau near it, that she stands outside dressed in white and she has a handkerchief wrapped around her neck and an iconic wrap over her head. If you look at the old pictures, you can see exactly what that looks like. And she was known for it back in the 1800s. However, a style like that would definitely stand out in modern day times, hence why when they see this woman, they think it's something special. Now, others have said they see the woman transform into a black crow that flies off. People say they've seen black crows flying to St. Louis No. 1 as if purposely trying to land in there. Got another one from the 1930s, again during the time of Depression. We actually have a person, a fellow named Elmore Lee Banks. He walked into a local drugstore not far from the French Quarter, also not far from St. Louis No. 1, kind of in between. And while browsing, he heard the front doorbell as if somebody had walked in. Now, from the aisle, he saw the cashier's face was frozen and would look like fear. Now, Elmore thought it was a robbery, so he stood quiet, nervously waiting for the cashier's yell, or maybe seeing him duck or something like that, but nothing happened. And Elmore then walks up, and what he sees instead is just looks like this elderly woman that was standing facing the cashier. And then she turns around and says to Elmore, "Don't you know me?" And he said no, and the woman slapped him across the face. She then went out the front door. Now, Elmore then runs into the empty street. He's shocked for only a second, didn't take him long. And when he runs out there, she was gone. Now, he said he looked up, and what he thought, it was like almost like the shadow shaped like a person flew over the wall and into St. Louis No. 1 Cemetery. Now, Elmore goes back into the store and finds the cashier had passed out from the shock. He shook the man awake and yelled, "That was Marie Laveau." Now, you can understand, you know, I tell these stories And you're thinking, Daniel, come on. I mean, you've talked about many times in your podcast that you don't really believe the over-the-top stories. And I'm going to 100% say that I don't fully believe these stories I told you. And this is the problem. I mean, you have such a legendary figure like Marie Laveau, people are going to look at these situations, they're going to have these amazing stories that are associated with her. And if you say, oh, that can't be true, it just doesn't make any sense, you say, well, it's Marie Laveau. Marie Laveau is going to have special energy. Marie Laveau was the voodoo queen. Her ghost will definitely be a powerful thing. And I step back and I say, yeah, that's very possible. But if you don't get value from that, if you're not 100% believing it, just get value from the history of it. To know that two of those ghost stories I just told you are over the top, but they're also historic, dating back almost 100 years ago, that supposedly Marie Laveau's ghost was experienced by these two people. And that alone has value to it. We're coming to the end of the episode, but I wanted to end on a very interesting story. The most interesting part of this is supposedly the power of Marie Laveau existed long before she was dead. She was still alive when this happened. So she was still alive when two men were convicted for killing a girl. Their hanging was set days later and drew a large crowd. Everyone gathered around the double gallows to see justice being done. All was calm until the executioner arrived. Rust-colored clouds then filled the once blue sky. Thunder exploded and lightning split them as some women screamed. Then as quickly as the storm came, it was gone. The executioner gained his wits and pulled the lever. The trapdoor released and the condemned men fell right through their tight nooses, landing safely on the ground. Now they, of course, would try this a second time, and on the second time, it was successful. But in the end, it is believed the message was clear. It is said that Marie Laveau wasn't happy about the violent display. She felt justice is decided by nature and not people. For this reason, the great voodoo queen's power was respected, and they then attributed what happened on the date of the execution as being a message from the voodoo queen herself. Anyway, that's the show, everyone. If you enjoy the podcast, you can easily support me. Ghost Guy Daniel on however you listen, Apple, Spotify, Google. Please leave a review. Just let me know what you think. More reviews definitely helps out in the algorithm and whatnot. You can also join the discussion group on Facebook. I put a lot of extra posts on there, polls, information, pictures. Definitely go check that out. It's just Ghost Guy Daniel Podcast. It's a discussion group on Facebook. Thanks very much, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.